The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And I'm joined now by Vogue Williams. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. I had Joanne in here during the week, Joanne McNally, of course, and now I'm talking to you. So it's great.
I was talking about you this morning to John Belton, who was also in with you. I've been talking about you a lot this week.
Here we go. We've been circling each other and now we get to chat. So listen, the parade is coming up on Tuesday and you are the Grand Marshal of the parade this year. This is a big deal.
This is probably the pinnacle of my career. I'm going to give up now after this. I've reached my highest point.
Are you nervous about it?
I am actually nervous because my dear friend Joanne has been telling me that she's like, what are you going to do if someone throws something at you? And now that's all that's been
Thanks,
in my
Joanne.
Head. It's like infiltrated my dreams. I'm like, I had a dream that someone threw a potato at my face and my eyebrows started bleeding. So I'm very nervous now. Don't throw anything.
That probably won't happen. But if it does, you'll be grand. There'll be somebody there to do stitches.
I'll be all right,
and you'll be
exactly.
okay.
I'll be fine. I'll survive.
And Vogue, is this coming home for you? I know you have a home in Ireland, but your base is in London. I always think that your home is where your children are at home, you know, and your children are at home in London, really, aren't they? So is this coming home for you?
Do you know what? Weirdly, I don't know if it's because being Irish, I feel like that, but I don't really, like, I live in London, but home is Ireland. I think home will always be Ireland. And I'm trying to, like, even with the kids, they have such a strong connection with Ireland already. And that's why we have the house there. And we try and spend as much time as we can there. And they have their own little friends and everything. So I'm like, I couldn't say here's home. I have to always say Ireland's home. I'll get kicked out of Ireland. I won't be allowed back in.
Yeah, well, it's, I suppose it is. We tell ourselves it's easy to flip back, you know, from one. And it is in terms of time. But when your life is somewhere, and especially when you have children and they're grounded somewhere and they're at school, it's hard to kind of bilocate, isn't it? It's hard to do both.
I don't really feel like that with the UK and Ireland because it's so close. Mm-hmm. I was back last week, I was back the week before, I'm back next week. And I feel like I go home so much that it just feels like I'm never really in one place. Like even with London, I love London, but I couldn't be here like full time. Whenever there's a school holiday or something, I'm off back to Dublin or I'm off somewhere. Or I'm staying at my mom's house in Spain or something like that. Just out of here. But I do love it here. I think it's amazing. But I like being kind of all over the place.
I was chatting to Joanne about the podcast, which everybody I know will know. My therapist ghosted me. And she was explaining to us that it was your idea, essentially, was it?
Well, the thing, okay, so we were doing, Joanne and I hadn't worked together before.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm terrible at Zoom and everything. I just
no,
touched
that's
my
fine.
Phone. I shouldn't sit on
Don't
my hands.
Don't touch your phone.
Really bad at it. Joanne and I hadn't worked together and we hung out so much together when she moved to London. And we did a video, she was basically putting fake tan on me and the video had done quite well. And she was like, oh, we should do something together. And I was like, why don't we try and do a podcast together? And like when you do a podcast with somebody, it doesn't necessarily work with everyone. So I was like, let's go in, let's give it a go. And it kind of just grew from there. But we were genuinely not expecting it to do what it did and to have so many people listen. Like it's amazing. And everyone that we meet from the podcast is always so sound and like just people that you'd feel like you'd like to go out for a drink with. So we're so lucky in that sense that we have such a sound group of listeners and everything like that. And we love doing it.
You can never predict what's going to work. You know, it's like there's a bit of fairy dust. There's a secret sauce there. I mean, if I asked you what it was, I don't know if you could even explain to me what it is. I can't tell you what it is. It just works. The two of you just work together.
I think it's just because it feels like you're sitting having a chat with your friends. And I think that you're just kind of, you're listening in and you're like part of the conversation. And we all kind of are interested in the same kind of subjects, maybe. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I'm just delighted it has worked out so well because
I'm
I love
sure,
working with Joanne.
Yeah, I know. And it's going great guns still, you know, because that's the thing with something like that, to maintain it then and keep it going.
Yeah.
But you've managed to do that.
She, 5 years in there.
She told us, she sat here in studio and told the nation that you're a hustler. Is that fair?
A hustler?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I guess so. I kind of like, I always knew that I wanted to be in this industry that I'm doing. I never obviously thought of podcasts because they weren't a thing at the time, but I always wanted to work in TV and it was kind of a pipe dream, but I've always been doing something towards it. Like whether it be, I remember trying out for girl bands and stuff like that back in the day when I was 15 or 16. Can't sing, can't dance, didn't matter.
It was worth a shot.
And somehow I got away with it. Like towards the end of the day, I'd still be there. And it was only when they started to spot the giant at the back who couldn't sing or dance that they'd be like, okay, thank you for coming. But like, I guess I was always kind of trying to do something. And my mind doesn't work. Like I'd find it hard to sit down and focus on one thing for an entire day. So the fact that my jobs are also different and I can dip in and out of all the different things that I do is really helpful for me. And it just kind of keeps me occupied. And I love working. I love the sense of achievement I get from my job. And I just really enjoy it. I feel really lucky to be doing it.
You're a grafter. You work hard.
Yeah. I do like working. I do. I do. I remember my stepdad once said to me, if you want to go on nice holidays and stuff like that, you really have to work for it. And I did take it on board. I didn't take much else on board, but I was like, you really have to work as hard as you can to be successful. And like, I'm still working towards it. There's still things that I'd love to achieve in my career and they will involve a lot more hard work, but like I'm enjoying it and I'm grabbing kind of every opportunity that comes my way.
But you're good at looking after yourself as well. You do the early nights, you do the exercise, you know, that's all part of maintaining the work side, isn't it? You got to mind yourself.
Yeah, I think you definitely do. I have found a really good balance with myself. I'm not great at drinking. I enjoy it on occasion, but like I struggle with the aftermath a lot more than other people do. And I just felt like everyone felt like me after drinking, but I don't think that they do. I die. And like I go into this like self-loathing for a day or two, and I was like, why am I doing this to myself? I can't drink every week. I was gonna say every day every week, but like things like that. And I enjoy exercise. I enjoy going for runs. I love going for walks. And I'm trying to get my kids, Theodore stays at the latest at 7:30. I'm like, come on, T, please go to bed.
Oh yeah,
so I can get into my bed.
My children are a little bit older now. 12, the oldest is 12, and I'm going to bed before them now, which is really strange, because you have to trust them a little bit. And of course, they completely ignore you and they stay up late. But I have to go to bed early. Wreck the next day. But it's great when they're going to bed early, but that does change. I'm sorry now. I have to break it to you.
I know. I'm going to be one of those weird parents as well. I was only asking someone the other day, I was like, and do you track them on their phone? Do they let you? And they were like, yeah, everyone tracks their kids. And I was like, okay, this is good news. I won't be as worried. I'm like, I was going to hire somebody to follow my kids around nightclubs because I feel like I'd be such a worried parent.
I know we'll all be doing that. And you watched Inside the Manosphere during the week as well, the Louis Theroux documentary, which I watched last night, and it made my anxiety off the charts because they're looking for our children. These guys, these idiots, are looking online for our children to sign them up to their crypto rubbish.
Do you know what, as well, with the crypto stuff, it's like, they were as thick as two planks, and they just, for them to give business advice, it's like, you don't even know what you're giving business advice on. And basically, the only people making money out of it are them, because anyone who signs up, they get money from it. But what I found the saddest about that program was all the followers like going up to them in the street, like admiring them and wanting to be like them. I just thought, oh God, how have we gotten here that like that these young kids are so impressionable by these like people that just aren't kind, nice people. I feel like I don't know what's gone wrong in their lives that's the way that they feel it is appropriate to treat women. And like the guy in America was one of the worst I've ever, he actually repulsed me.
Yeah.
And I felt really angry watching it, but then I was like, this is the point of it, but it's good that we're watching it because like we'll all veer away from that.
I'm worried because I feel, having watched it, their target audience is a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And it's really easy for them to fall into that trap. And I wasn't convinced that the men who are selling the dream believe what they're saying, that they're just doing it for attention and they're doing it for the likes and they're doing it for the money. But do they actually live what they're saying they do? I wasn't buying it anyway.
Absolutely. I don't think they own the homes that they're in. I don't think that they have the money that they say they have. I don't believe any of it. I feel like they're just trying to earn a quick buck. But when you look at them, and I was just thinking to myself, I was like, God, they still have so many followers. But then I was like, you know what? They'll never actually be able to get a real job. And they'll probably look back on it in 10 years' time and think, what was I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just that humiliation is there forever. But Yeah, it was a shocking watch.
Maybe so, but you and I will be putting trackers on our children when they go out at night. Like, so we'll be okay. We'll be okay. We'll have them. We'll know exactly where they are at all times.
Don't forget the air tag. Yeah.
Listen, Vogue, it was great to talk to you. And the best of luck on Tuesday at the Dublin St. Patrick's Day Parade. That's Vogue Williams.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.